struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my guest, Gail Summers. She was telling us in our last talk about how an ordinary day goes in her home.
I was saying before that I am not someone who finds mothering to come naturally. It has been a difficult thing for me from the time that I held my first child in my arms in
when
the
you
hospital.
Were how old?
When I was how old? 32. Had my first child at age 32, and now I'm 40. And I have not found it an easy road at all. And the reason that I have probably given more thought than most to the idea of working mothers is because I have question myself from time to time, is there anything else that I could be doing? Do I really need to be here with these children? Do they really need me? Do they need me? The type of person that I am not the type of person who can suffer little children gladly.
You don't coo over everybody else's children.
I
You're
don't.
Not the sort of person who runs up to children in playgrounds and says,
"Come
here,
not.
Honey, sweetheart,
no.
You darling little thing."
No, I am not that
not
sort of person at all. And I have spent many hours wishing that I were, but I am not. I find the interruptions. You're asking me now about my ordinary day.
What time do you get up?
6, usually 6 o'clock.
Does everybody get up at 6 or just the mother?
Well, no, the first child usually wakes about 6. That's the youngest, Leah, wakes up at 6, and the others follow suit. And then the day begins, and we more or less stumble through the day, and then it ends. As far as the children are concerned, the last child is in bed by 8. And my ordinary day, I've thought a lot about this. What is my ordinary day like? And it's filled with interruptions. It's filled with complications. It's filled with questions that I don't want to be asked. It seems like there's just a hum that goes on in our home from the time the children wake up until the time they go to sleep. And I feel as if I almost never have a moment to myself. Never can follow a thought through to its conclusion. I am always more or less at the beck and call of the children. And I don't want to paint the day as being dark. There are lots of laughs. There are lots of wonderful times. But at the end of the day, I have to say that I'm very glad to see them all tucked in and that those 2 hours of quiet are what I look forward to. Mm-hmm. So that for me, each day, really, it would be less than honest of me to sit here and represent myself as being someone who finds motherhood a joyous and exciting and wonderful thing. Fulfilling, yes. Yes, I find it fulfilling in the sense that I know that I'm doing the right thing.
That's what makes something fulfilling,
yes,
isn't it?
It's
not what you do.
No.
It's the knowledge that you can do it for God.
Right.
And that this is what God has called you to do.
Right.
God gave you those children, so you are called to be a mother.
Right. And for me, I have to say, too, now that you know a little bit about my family background, when I look at my children and myself and what goes on between us, and when I see my shortcomings and my limitations, and I know very much that a lot of it has to do with what I experienced as a child in my family life, at those points, I have, instead of feeling overwhelming frustration, and instead of wanting to fly from the situation, which I think I really understand that temptation for women because I have stood there myself, but instead of wanting to fly away and find a job and just put those kids in daycare and forget about it and let somebody else who has gifts better than I do the job, instead, those moments for me are times when I am so overwhelmed with thanksgiving that God broke into the chain of my life and redeemed me and has indicated a better way, and that I can start to do that with my children, that I don't have to repeat what happened with me and my family. I can see the mistakes that my parents made, and they saw them too. Mm-hmm. When they became Christians, they saw and they wept. My father himself spent hours weeping over what he had done to us as children. Not abuse. I'm not talking about physical abuse.
What he had done, and undoubtedly what he had failed to do too.
What he failed to do and what he missed with us. And I know that the type of person that I might have become had I not become a Christian, and what I would be doing with my children. The only thing that I'm familiar with is what my parents had done. But those moments when I, on the one hand, I feel tremendous weakness and frustration because I think if only I were a different person, I would be doing this much better. But on the other hand, I know that God has broken in to what would have been an awful story, a terrible story, and that He will help me to do better with my kids.
Absolutely. And isn't it just a terrific illustration? Let me say this to the listeners out there. Isn't it wonderful to hear a woman who acknowledges her helplessness? I mean, she was not cut out to be a mother. How many times I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm just one of those women who really needs to be away from her children. I was not cut out to be a mother. It's mm-hmm. fine for the ones who love it, like your daughter Valerie. She must have been cut out to be a mother. But I just wasn't cut out to be a mother. So I'm so glad to hear your testimony mm-hmm. from that standpoint. And also it reminds mm-hmm. me of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that God has chosen the weak things. God mm-hmm. has chosen the things which are not. And out of our weakness, God gives us His strength. Mm-hmm. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And the more helpless we feel, the more totally we become receptacles of His grace. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Exactly.
And the more we are forced to His feet mm-hmm. and say, in saying, Lord, help me.
Exactly. Well, I couldn't agree more. And the thing that I have thought about often in this question, I have heard the same thing when women say, I'm just not cut out for this. This is driving me crazy. And this is the key line here. I have heard women say, I am a better mother when I go out and work for 8 hours. All right, let's talk about this right now because it's on my mind and I would like to address this. Women say, I am a better mother when I go away for 8 hours, when I have a job, when I feel like I'm an adult, I can carry on a conversation, I can use my gifts that I have. I'm a much better mother. I'm calm when I come home, and so it goes. And I want to say this about that. What I suspect, what I very strongly suspect, is that what the woman is saying there is that she's not a better mother. First of all, anybody should be able to see that you're not a better mother if you're out of the home 8 hours a day. You're not really being a mother. If you're out of the home 8 hours a day, you are not a better mother. But what you are testifying to is that you feel better. You feel better about yourself. But those, ask the children, are you a better mother? What would the children say? Would the children say, yes, you're a better mother because you're gone 8 hours a day? I don't see you 8 hours a day? To me, that's first of all, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And secondly, it's looking at the thing from the wrong point of view. If you want to look at yourself and say, does this feel good for me? Well, there'd be a lot of other things that would feel a lot better than listening to little children fuss and complain, breaking up fights, having to discipline them, the chaos, the confusion, the way it is in my household. Sure, I would feel better.
Where do people get this idea that we ought to feel good about ourselves all the time?
Well, it's a strange and unhappy notion, I'm afraid, that has just sunk in. And I'm convinced it has sunk in at the deepest levels of wherever the common psyche finds its strength, because I rarely can find a person now who doesn't think that feeling good about yourself is a very important thing. It's sort of like an inalienable right that might be written into the Constitution mm-hmm. that I should feel good about myself. And I don't buy it. I don't buy that. I don't see it in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. I don't see it in the Scripture that you need to feel good about yourself. And I don't buy the idea that you have to love yourself before you can love others. This is what I often hear Christian mothers saying in a sort of diluted form, that I have to feel good about myself, or I have to love who I am. I have to remain intact before I have anything to give the children. And that's looking at it from entirely the wrong point of view, I think. It's looking at it from the mother's point of view, but it's not looking at it from the tiny child's point of view. My mother is walking out of the door at 7 o'clock in the morning. My mother is gone all day. My mother is walking in at 6. My mother is a better mother
Who is my mother?
Who is my mother?
The child children spends most don't of his know. Waking hours with somebody else.
Yes, children don't know. It's been my experience that my children don't know that I'm bored. My children don't know that I'm frustrated. My children don't know that I don't feel good about myself. My children know I am there, that mommy is there. My mother is there. My mommy is there. So they can call me whenever they need me. My children know that I am there. But they don't know that I feel like a wreck, that I feel confused, that I feel like I'm in the middle of chaos, that I'm grinding my teeth. They don't know it.
Well, there are some mothers that would say, but I need to let my children know how I feel.
Heaven forbid that my children should know how I feel. Well, no, good. No, I don't think that children need to know that you're bored and that you're frustrated. I get bored. There's so much that's repetitive about raising young children. I get bored, and I'm the type.
Does it make a difference, though, when you think of the fact that you can actually offer up the laundry and the cooking and the dishwashing and,
yes,
and the,
yes,
wiping the little noses,
right,
as an offering to Christ?
Right.
Does that make a difference?
It makes all the difference. It makes the difference, because I look at my three children, different personalities, and in their little embryonic form, they look to me like they'll be three fine people. And I realize that what I have at my fingertips is the ability to influence three children for good.
To shape their
destiny.
To raise
them, exactly. To raise them, to nurture them. This idea of nurturing, I think, is one that has really gotten lost. People think that raising children requires just being there. And it's more than that. It is nurturing them, influencing them, teaching them a sense of humor, sharing things, being there with them at the right moment. It's nurturing, and nurturing cannot be done in a daycare center. Child care can be done. Taking care of children, but not nurturing.
Well, thank you so much, Gail. Remember that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.